Yeah, they named me Richard Kimmel, 'cause I've been running so long. Yeah, they named me Richard Kimmel, 'cause I've been running so long.
We're talking Fugitive on the air, and I thought that was appropriate. We're going to be talking, you know, about the episode of Ill Wind tonight, and that kind of sets the tone there, not to mention the fact that Bo Diddley passed away this week, and we won't blame that particular intro on poor Mr. Diddley, but somehow the blues seem to fit in. 800-407-KSAV is the phone number if you want to fit in. Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken. It's only been about 3 years now. I finally got the names correct. Tonight is going to be part two, which would be acts 3 and 4 of the episode Ill Wind. And to start it off will be the lead narrator himself, Bobby Neer.
Thanks, Dave. 2 weeks ago when we reviewed part one of Ill Wind, Acts 1 and 2, we found Richard Kimball once again, stranded in bad weather, and by the end of the second act, handcuffed to Gerard, with nowhere to go but back to death row. But before we go any further, I just want to say a few words about the special effects in this episode. They really are very good, especially for a mid-60s TV series. Every time they are outside, the wind is howling, everything is blowing all over the place. It's all quite impressive, and inside the barn where they eventually take shelter, it's all very claustrophobic with nowhere to run or hide for Richard Kimball. In Ed Robertson's book, The Fugitive Recaptured, in the section for this episode, there are some details of what they rigged up on the set to make it look like the walls of this rickety barn were just about to blow inward. My only complaint is, where is the rain? It's a hurricane, and I can tell you that I personally have been in and survived direct hits from 3 major hurricanes in the past few years. And if there's one thing you can count on, it's rain and lots of it, like about a foot of it at least. Not here, not a drop anywhere. They were so busy making it look windy, nobody thought about making it look wet. But let's face it, this episode is not about wind or rain or the dark of night. It's just another opportunity to prove to us that not only is Richard Kimball innocent, but he's also a humanitarian far above that which would be expected of anyone. Not only does he save countless lives of perfect strangers, but also of the one man who can cause his own death. In this episode, he breaks his own record by saving Gerard's behind not once, but twice. All the way back in episode 5, part 2 of Never Wave Goodbye, we sat and watched Kimball tend to a grievously injured Gerard while he was laying on the beach. We were impressed and a little frustrated as we watched our hero save the life of his enemy instead of taking the hand of his beautiful girlfriend and getting out of Dodge while he could, especially in light of Gerard breathlessly laying there telling him he intends to take him in anyway. It was moving and emotional and impressive and said everything about both characters. But now as we get near the end of season 3, with Kimball having saved Gerard numerous times, and with one more yet to go in season 4, haven't the writers overstepped the bounds of this, and aren't they now just guilty of exploiting what was once an interesting and thought-provoking idea? Admittedly, it is intriguing, this idea that a doctor, sworn to save lives without asking any questions, now finds himself saving a life that may eventually cost him his own. Had it been done just in Never Wave Goodbye, and then perhaps brought back one more time near the end of the series, it might have served to tell us everything we needed to know about Kimball and Gerard, and whether or not either had changed after 4 years. But done almost each season at inappropriate times, it has become almost laughable at this point. It's the old law of diminishing returns. Fool us once, shame on you. Fool us 5 times, which is what it is after this episode, with one yet to go. Shame on us for even watching it. Kitty?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the idea that Kimball keeps saving Gerard, and Gerard keeps saying afterwards that, well, this doesn't change anything, I'm still going to take you in. It's become cartoon-like. I mean, that's why I really have a lot of disdain for the character of Gerard at this point in the series, because Gerard has become really nothing more than a robot. He keeps saying the same lines over and over again. At the beginning of the series, I thought Gerard was actually a very interesting character. But as we've gone through the series, there's just been no character progression, you know, and that's not the way it is in real life. In real life, people tend to ebb and flow as life takes them. And, and Gerard, he's just always saying the same thing over and over and over, and it's a drag. I mean, he pulls him out of the water in season one. In season two, he saves him from some psychotic hillbillies. He also saved him prior to this from Telly Savalas from blowing his head off. And then in season four, he's going to get chased. You know, this stupid mobster decides he owes Kimball a favor, so he's going to go take out Gerard, and then Kimball runs after Gerard to go warn him. And it's called enough already. Okay, we know Kimball's a darn nice guy. And really, when you think about it, it also becomes laughable because, you know, I know, Bob, you said that Kimball saves total strangers, but as we have seen in other episodes, Kimball doesn't always save everybody. Sometimes he's got to be dragged into the situation to save people. And sometimes we've even witnessed him just watch somebody die and do absolutely nothing to try to prevent that from happening. You know, but by golly, he's going to save Gerard every opportunity that he gets. And, it's kind of a moving scene because, these people who work with them, these migrant workers, none of them can understand why Kimball is wanting to save Gerard. And quite frankly, if they all knew how many times Kimball has saved Gerard's rear end prior to this, they might have thought to just tie Kimball up to prevent him from giving him any help. You know, saying, you're nuts, you need psychiatric help. But the scene itself is fine. Kate ends up giving Gerard his blood. But it's, you know, like I said, it's redundant and it's just the same old, same old. And in the end, we see, and I actually kind of chuckled a little bit at the end of this episode because at the end, when all those migrant workers get in between Kimball and Gerard and Kimball makes his way out of there, you then see Gerard come running out of the place, you know, and he's somewhat delirious because of his blood transfusion and everything, and he's yelling, Kimball, Kimball, and he stumbles to the ground. It was almost verbatim what happened at the end of Landscape with Running Figures. Marie Gerard came running out of the building, tripping over her feet, yelling, Kimball, Kimball. And I just thought, well, like husband, like wife, I guess. I thought, couldn't they thought of something a little more original on the part of Gerard rather than have him do a carbon copy of Marie from Landscape with Running Figures?
Okay, we're getting a little ahead of the game here. Skipping all the way to the end of already.
Oh, okay.
Is it, the end already? You want me to sign off? Is that what you're saying?
I felt like I've only been here like about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Already at the end of the show.
Okay.
Time flies when you're having fun. Ken, what do you think about this repetition business?
Oh, don't get me started.
Somebody's got to start. Go ahead.
I agree with Kitty. I have my concept of how the whole series should have developed, and if you've got 3 hours, I can explain it to you.
Yeah, we're going
to
cancel Dave's show tonight. Go ahead. Take
care. Well, give us the Reader's Digest condensed version.
Okay. I think the Never Wave Goodbye, I'm glad you mentioned that episode, and that just made my day because, you know, I'm in love with Karen, and I love that episode. And the end of that episode, the first time you see it, has the effect on you, and it just stays with you. And so I agree. Kimball was on the rock. Karen's by his side, soaking wet, and he sees Gerard floating, and he makes the decision, you know, should I or shouldn't I? He hesitated a little bit, and I agree with him there. You got to go down and save him, you know. You know, wouldn't it have been interesting, Bob, if Gerard was faking it, and Kimball goes down there, pulls him out of the water, and Gerard says, I got you, guy. Sorry, let's go.
That would have been nice, except it's the fifth episode of the series. It was a little early for it.
So anyway, I agree with the saving of Gerard from the water, and it had an effect, and we said, hey, this Kimball's a white knight. You know, he's not just a bum fugitive, but he's a sophisticated fugitive. He's a doctor. He's on the run, yet he made the decision to save his nemesis. So I agree, very effective. But when it's done in Corner of Hell, I guess that was season two, with the dumb hillbillies, and Gerard has a noose, and Kimball, the White Knight, is standing up for Gerard and basically, you know, dealt with the hillbillies and convinced them, don't do it. I didn't like that episode. It didn't have the effect. And I agree with the other episode about Telly Savalas. That was absolutely ridiculous. He was going to get shot, and Kimball at the last minute.
Well, and not only that, it really was, that came out of nowhere. What, having Telly Savalas want to shoot Gerard, that just really seemed kind of contrived. Like, it was, you know, to me, it wasn't really necessary. But
I think for the series, you know, even if they, if Kimball hadn't saved Gerard and never waved goodbye, and let's say they went the whole four seasons without Kimball saving Gerard at all.
Well, that's what I said. Wait till the final season.
Yeah, wait till maybe episode, let's say, 119.
Yeah, to see whether or not they've changed at all.
Yeah.
Right.
But here in Ill Wind, you're asking me, is it repetitious, and did it have the effect? I say with the pitchfork, I agree, you got to pull them away, if I was Kimball. But as far as the blood transfusion, yeah, you're right. I mean, come on, five times?
It was kind of overkill. I mean, to have him save Gerard twice in one episode, particularly with all the other times prior to that.
How? I'm curious, who saved Gerard throughout the first, you know, 40 or 50 years of his life before Kimball came around to save him?
Well, we usually see him at his desk, so he's not really usually in any danger.
Okay.
But the fact is, in Never Wave Goodbye, it has a purpose. And the purpose is to let us know what the two characters are like. It's only the fifth episode. We don't know them really well enough. So it says that Kimball will save lives because he's a doctor sworn to do so. And it says that Gerard is obsessed, and he will take him in no matter what. Can't do him any favors and expect anything in return. So it has a purpose, but as it goes on, it doesn't have any purpose anymore. We got it.
Not only that, let's also remember, too, that Kimball saved Phil Jr. and also Marie Gerard.
Well, I would have liked to have seen a comeback at the end of the series. You know, before we get to the judgment, before the end there, simply to make a statement whether or not anybody has changed. Is Kimball now at the point, after running so long, he just doesn't give a damn anymore that he's out to save himself? And has Gerard thought about it? Is he still as obsessed? Is he not as obsessed? Does he understand what's been going on? That makes a difference, and then we could have considered it and said, wow, you know, people change. It's like you said, Kitty. People change as life goes on. You don't always have the same attitude at the end as you do at the beginning. And so it would have had some meaning, and we could have said, now, you know, it's been a long time. We would have thought back to that time on the beach. Now, when you see this in this episode, especially when you get to season four and see him save him again, you're thinking to yourself, oh, no, not again. Please don't do this again. It's all, they just squander. They squander the really good opportunity to make a statement, and I think in this case, less is more. And it's kind of cheap, too. It's kind of cheap on the part of writers. It's something you pull out at the last second and you say, boy, we need something here. I know what, let's have Kimball save Gerard, but Gerard won't really care. Okay, but I understood all of that. And in the first season, it's really good. We see him on the beach, and in Nightmare at North Oak, too, when he's sitting at the table with the family there, with the sheriff's family, and he talks about how, you know, he's going to bring him in no matter what because it's his job, so forth and so on. But it's, that litany only works for a while, and after a while, you just kind of get tired of it. And I think that's one of the problems. So they really, but I like the idea. I have to admit that I like the idea of this kind of conflict on the part of the doctor, and I take it from Ken that if he were in this situation, he might have let Gerard die. Kitty, would you have let Gerard die if you had a chance?
No, but I can't imagine having that many opportunities to save his life. You know,
yeah, right.
But if there had been that many, you would have saved it every time.
All right, I'm going to save you, Kitty, at least for the time being. We're going to take a quick time out. This will give you a chance to think about just, you know, how many times you can put up a tote board. How many times will I save Gerard before you know he runs out? We'll take a quick time out. The email address is talk@ksab.org. Be right back for a little more ill wind continuing to blow on retro radio.
Best television on Tuesday night takes place on the radio. Talkin' Television with Dave White discusses anything and everything concerning television, past, present, and future. Specially featured programs, interesting guests, favorite theme songs, nostalgic commercials, blended with listener phone calls and emails, make the 90 minutes from 7:30 through 9 p.m. Pacific Time a different and entertaining interlude. So make a point on Tuesday to stop watching television and start talking about watching television. 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific on KSAV. World-class radio on the World Wide Web.
Boy, that Talkin' Television sounds great. I'm going to listen to that. That's on tonight, and in fact, in about 1 hour, it'll be on. And I happen to know, inside information, that tonight the featured program is Laugh-In. Okay, back, and no laughing matter here tonight. Serious stuff. The Fugitive, Ill Wind, Part 2. Bobby Neer, we'll let you start off.
Okay. In previous programs, we've examined the three faces of Richard Kimball, the three faces of Lieutenant Gerard, and the three faces of the one-armed man, as they appear in three different versions of the series. Now it is time for the final program on this subject. The two faces of Kimball's sister, two because there was no sister in the movie version, and perhaps most important of all, the person who started it all, the three faces of Helen Kimball, 2 weeks from tonight on Talking Fugitive. Acts 3 and 4 of Ill Wind unwind, Jonesy continues singing, Gerard keeps pacing around the barn, and everyone is throwing dirty looks at everyone else. And along the way, as usual, Kimball begins tending to a feverish little girl who may or may not have typhoid fever. Eventually, her fever breaks. Kimball announces she is going to be okay, and the entire group of migrant farm workers beam their approval at Kimball. They've come to know and love him, and they are sure he has never done anything even close to what he is accused of. At the same time, Gerard stands isolated in more ways than one at the other end of the barn, when suddenly part of the roof caves in and he is inundated with debris. Pulled out by Kimball and the others, Gerard looks pretty bad, dazed and bleeding. There's some really good acting here by Barry Morse. He had me convinced he was really hurt. Kimball checks him out and sees he is bleeding badly from his arm, where it appears he has severed an artery. Kimball asks the group for a cloth and a stick so he can form a tourniquet, but gets no response. Maybe he doesn't know when to leave well enough alone, but this group sure does. Nobody moves an inch. Eventually, they do at least provide what he asks for. And what follows is a very interesting few moments we have never seen before. As we did in the first part of this program, we often wonder how Gerard can allow Kimball to save his life so many times without even so much as acknowledging that he has done so. Well, this time, at least he does just that. Gerard says to Kimball, "You're building up quite a case. Selfless, devoted doctor saves the life of his persecutor. They must be impressed. I suppose even I am." Kimball counters with, "But that doesn't change anything." From Gerard, as expected, he says, "No, that doesn't change anything." Oh boy, am I hearing things? Sure, he doesn't directly mention those other times and those other episodes, but at least for the first time ever, Gerard acknowledges that he knows what's been going on. He's even impressed. So he says. Progress, at the very least. Eventually, Kimball announces that Gerard needs a blood transfusion to save his life. The reaction from the assembled is less than startling. They just stare at him. But Kate, who, wouldn't you know it, just happens to have the same blood type as Gerard, volunteers, more to please Kimball than to save Gerard's rear end. Something tells me that the producers let a great opportunity pass them by. Imagine if Kimball had given his own blood to save Gerard. Now, that would have been the perfect ending. But I suppose even these writers checked with the real doctor, who inform them that, no, a doctor can't perform a blood transfusion at the same time he's on one end of it. Too bad. I can just see it now. Selfless, devoted doctor saves the life of his persecutor by giving him his own blood. Even Kitty might have been impressed. How about you, Ken?
I didn't think of that. That's a good angle. I like that scene. Kimbo goes, okay, all you migrant workers, you have a card telling you what your blood type is. So if anyone has, is it blood type B? Was that it?
Yeah, B positive.
B positive. And they all, nobody says anything, especially the, the leader of the group, the father. And then the mother, she's kind of, what should we do? And then Kate, she's just there. I love Kate in this episode. And, eventually she volunteers. And I thought the scene was good. You know, Kitty, did you catch that one line by Kate? Because I was ready to strangle Richard Kimball from his response. This is what Kate said. She goes, I don't know why you want to do it and all that and this and that. But then she mentions, tell me about Helen or your wife. And did you hear the response by Kimball? I got to go check on Gerard. He didn't say anything. Did you catch that in the episode, Kitty?
I guess I did.
I think he also said that he could hardly remember anymore. Didn't he in the middle of that say something like, it's been so long, I can hardly remember, or something?
I was rather mad that he would say that, because it's like, well, okay, now we had another opportunity to hear something about, something good about Helen, and, and the writers once again screwed up.
Right. I was hoping, through the three seasons, we get bits and pieces of Helen. And when Kate said, tell me about your wife, she didn't ask so much about the crime, and she didn't ask, are you guilty or innocent.
Right.
But she had that one line, tell me about Helen. I wanted at least 2 minutes where, Richard says, oh, she was like this, she was like that.
Isn't it kind of odd that a writer would write that line in there and then not answer it?
Yeah.
I mean, why write it in the first place?
Yeah, it's very sad because of the way the writers treat this poor woman, the audience has next to no sympathy for her.
Yeah.
They don't want us to have any sympathy. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I guess, which
is
a shame.
Well, from the time it starts, they don't want us to ever look back and feel sorry for her. I'm not exactly sure I've ever understood why, or that I still do. But maybe when we get to the judgment and we see that final flashback scene there at the end, maybe it'll come to us. So far, it hasn't come to me. I don't know why, and I hadn't thought about this scene at all until Ken just mentioned it, but it's quite true. But it's very odd that a writer would write that. It's a setup, and the writer writes it. And then what does he do? He just sits there and stares at it and says, well, maybe he's writing a photo and stuff. I don't really know anything about Helen Kimball, to be honest with you, because nobody has said anything about her. So, actually, he can't answer the question. So he just goes, it's been a long time. I've got to take care of Gerard. Goodbye. It's an easy out for the writer. I don't think he had anything
Gerard
to say.
And think about his wife. That's pretty pathetic, really, when you think about it.
And, dialogue between Gerard and Kimball about Helen would have been mind-boggling. I mean, that would have been a revelation. Wouldn't that be interesting? Kimball's talking about Helen with Gerard. They have some free time there to talk here and there.
Yeah.
Why not develop a little bit there? Can you remember a time where Gerard and Kimball talked about Helen at all?
No.
No. Because I don't think Gerard really cares about Helen. It's never about Helen. It's all about Gerard and his ego.
Yeah.
No, they never really talk about her, because when you have an undeveloped character like that in the series, and the payoff later on is that nobody gets to talk about that character, because you have to develop it slowly. So, by the time you get 2-3 seasons into a series, and if there's an outstanding character that is really terribly underdeveloped, nothing ever comes of it, because you just don't pull those characters out of the air. You have to deal off of something, and there's nothing to deal off of because they've been so dedicated to saying absolutely nothing. Before we run out of time here, I want to mention one thing. Kitty mentioned the Gerard groveling at the end there and clawing his way through the dirt trying to get to Kimball, which is true. It's very much similar to what happens at the end of Landscape with Running Figures. But also, before that, did you notice the when Kimball goes to walk out the door and all of the migrant farm workers stand in front of him so Gerard can't shoot him? That's a repeat of what happened in Nightmare at North Oak, remember? At the end there, after Wilma Springer gives him the key, and Gerard walks in and wants to know who did it, everybody in the room says he did it.
So yeah, it's very similar. And,
right.
And, you know, to me, they kind of missed out on a good opportunity here. I mean, maybe a little bit, showing a little bit of growth in the character of Gerard, because instead of having Gerard run after Kimball and look like Marie Gerard in Landscape with Running Figures, what if Gerard just said, all right, Kimball, just this once, go.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
Go. I'll give you this one time.
This is absolutely outrageous. You can't be serious.
No, I think it would have said a little bit more about Gerard that he at least acknowledges, you know, a thank you.
But the whole series is about one man obsessed with catching another.
Yeah,
but you know, with the obsession, it's getting boring at this point. And he's saying the same thing over and over again. What does he do at the end? He chases after Kimball. Well, gee, I could have predicted that at the beginning of the show.
I know, but if Gerard is in his office back in the days when Captain Carpenter was still in the series, and he's gone by now, but if he's still been in there and he walks in his office and says to Gerard, there's another sighting of Richard Kimball, and Gerard yawns and goes, well, I tell you the truth, I'm really sick and tired of chasing that guy around the country. Then we have no series, and it ends after like two seasons. So that's the problem with that, is you're tinkering with the foundation of the series. You're pulling a brick out from the bottom, and the whole damn thing is going to fall apart.
That he can do it this one time, considering all the other times he saved his rear end, plus his wife and his son.
No. Now, I have to say that I agree with you that it is tedious and ridiculous. But really, by the time you get to this point in the series, you've built a brick wall, and you just can't, you know, you're not going to pull a brick out of the bottom of it just because it might look better.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, it's going to fall apart. Ken, don't you agree it's impossible now?
I was a little disappointed with the escape scene at the end.
What did you want from it?
I was a little let down. If you recall, some of the workers are saying, hey, Mike, the alias Richard Kimball, he takes the name Mike. They go, are you going to make a break for it or some kind of small talk? And Kimball goes at the right time. And then there's that one ridiculous scene where it's getting close to Kimball getting out of there, and he goes, well, I need to check on Gerard one more time.
1 minute.
Before I go. And I said, what in the world? You know,
you want him to just go.
Yeah. So he goes over.
Because he's done everything he can do for him.
Yeah. So he goes over, he checks. Then he makes his way out, and Gerard, you know, pulls his gun, and then everyone's in the way. I like that Jonesy guy gave that guy a wallop. Wasn't that kind of, that was kind of out of the blue.
So, but we're running out of time here. So what did you want? You wanted him to just run away, just sneak out.
I wanted a classic chase scene.
Oh, okay. Why can't we just classic chase scene when a guy's bleeding to death?
I don't know.
Have a rumble.
Have a rumble in the barn.
With a man who's severed an artery.
Well, you know.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a fair fight. I don't know. I'm all for classic chase scenes, but I think Gerard was in no position to chase anybody. As a matter of fact, that he even got up off the table and walked to the door is ridiculous. I mean, he just had a blood transfusion.
We're going to, you know, after this episode, maybe the what you should be discussing is what does a dog do with the car after he finally catches it?
Yeah.
All right, nobody likes my suggestion. I don't blame you.
Bizarre, yeah.
Keep my perfect record intact.
I'll think about it the rest of the night. All right.
In 2 weeks, we're going to be back to discuss what the first face of the three faces of the Helen. Actually, you're going to cover all three in one show, though, aren't you?
That's right.
Okay. All right. So I hope that the rest of you will be with us then. 2 weeks from tonight, Talkin' Fugitive here on Retro Radio. Thank you.
always on the run. Man can't help but feel bad when he's always on the run.